So much can happen around the globe that we never hear of.
I really share in our fans' disappointment, frustration. Honestly, I'm embarrassed.
They've been through some tough battles, right? They know what the playoffs looks like. This team's been battle-tested in the playoffs.
He's a piece of crap. The kid, he sucked. He's sucked his whole career.
I got rumors about him. How he couldn't please his wife, so now he's divorced.
Put a damn winning team on the field.
Now, the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima give their thoughts on what you might have missed about last night.
Just a tough day all around yesterday for the Cleveland Guardians, not only losing 8-6 in a comeback win against the league worst Colorado Rockies, but of course, everything going on with Emmanuel Clase, the gambling probe there. Now, this interesting thing we heard from Stephen Vogt yesterday during the pregame is that it seems as if the Guardians, according to all the reports we've been hearing, may have known about this as soon as Sunday morning that Clase may be put on leave. But Clase was used a lot over the weekend. Mm-hmm. He was used in the twin bill twice against the Royals. And on Sunday, he was in the bullpen despite the Guardians being down 4-1. This is Stephen Vogt before yesterday's game talking about his use of Clase during the weekend.
We didn't think, oh, let's do this because of this. It was, no, I managed each game to win the game. There was no, oh, let's do this just because of that. Because we didn't know. We didn't know if or when or how or why. I was aware that it could happen. And so I managed each game accordingly.
Now I'm asking you guys because I don't know myself. Did that come up with anything in your mind when the gambling probe first came up? Like, oh, this is weird how they tried to use him so much over the weekend.
I did not think of that when it first happened. I figured he's their closer. The 4-1 situation, now that does raise an eyebrow there. But I did not think of that over the weekend.
Well,
about
here's
it.
What
I figured he's their closer. That's where you put him out there. Because I'm sorry, Tone, but how are you supposed to know if Major League Baseball is going to suspend him? It's like, well, he's got a job to do. Or not, excuse me. Antonetti even used the term suspend. Put him on the paid leave list.
Yes.
For a month. Thank you. Go ahead, Tom.
I guess the part of this that I need more clarification is, did they go to him or his agent and ask them? I don't know if going to him would have been a bit, I don't know, not beyond the pale, but like, do you don't want to influence or you don't want to get in his head about anything, especially if you're going to use him. So you don't want to go to him and go, well, we're here and baseball's investigating you. Like, you don't want to mess with his psyche. At the same time, you don't want to pitch a guy if he's accused of some dastardly things that could impact his actual pitching for your ball club. So what would you do if you were given this information? Would you have just shut him down? That's probably what I would have done. I would not have used him. You know, now that I really think it through, I probably would not have used him.
Well, if you know, does that mean he knows that you would know?
That's what
this is getting Rumsfeldian.
I know,
quick.
But that's what's unclear here. Honestly, it's a good question. It's a fair question because all we're hearing, and I'm reading Zach Meisel's piece here, is that they were informed, but we don't know anything beyond that.
But they also said that he knew before he came to the ballpark yesterday.
Yes,
that
yesterday,
something was
yeah.
going down. That was yesterday. Yes, but still, I mean, they at least. He didn't pitch in that game on Sunday. They just had him up.
They had him in the bullpen.
Right. And people were already suspicious of it then because the team was already down 4-1. You're like, why are you even peddling him out?
I mean, you can at least gloss it over with like, well, what if we score 3 runs in the ninth and then we've got to use him in the ninth? They didn't end up batting. The Royals didn't, so it didn't matter.
Have you seen this offense this year? Anyway, going from the Diamond to the Browns camp yesterday, we had some of the national headliners there, including one Albert Breer, who was asked on the afternoon drive, does Kenny Pickett still have a shot to win the Browns' overall starting job despite his injury?
I think Kenny does. Like right now, to me, I'd be surprised if it wasn't one of the two veterans. I think you guys are probably with me on that, right? And I think, like, Flacco's very steady, and they know what they're getting with Joe. There's not a good reason to go with Joe. The one thing with Kenny is, like, if Kenny can get up to, like, level ground with Joe as far as the knowledge of the offense, being able to operate the whole thing, prevent turnovers, all that, like, Kenny does bring a running element that I don't think any of the other three guys do. Dylan's probably closest, but if you are shaky about your offensive line at all, could wind up being pretty important.
Isn't it amazing that it's Deion Sanders' kid who doesn't factor into any of the running? It's just still amazing to me to this day.
One of the fastest guys on the planet at one point.
Just one of the best athletes I've ever seen in my life. So I just think from what Breer is saying is, all right, if it's truly day-to-day, okay, I get that Pickett's not disqualified at all. But what we keep coming back to is I feel like he cannot miss the Carolina joint practice. I feel like if he misses that,
you know what,
the team needs to move on.
That's a great point.
Which sucks because not
well, how do you mean move on?
They need to get going and install a starting quarterback because you're running out of time.
Mm-hmm.
Because now if he doesn't participate in that, all right, and then whatever happens with Flacco, and I don't know how they're going to divvy the reps up for that at all, but then when is the Philadelphia joint practice? That's just one day, right? But that's the one, right? That's the one, Carolina.
It'll probably be a Thursday because that game's on a Saturday.
Yeah, it's the following week.
Yeah, that's the one. Like, fans, we're going to be watching a preseason game, unfortunately. We're not going to get anything from that. We need the joint practice stuff. The joint practice, I think, is going to inform them as an organization and as a football coaching staff more than anything else. And if he's missing Carolina, I just think that puts him way too far behind the eight ball. I don't like that. I don't like that for them gearing up for week one. I just don't like that scenario at all.
I agree with you. But you know what? If they were to turn to Kenny Pickett, then I go, man, they must be really disappointed in whatever Joe Flacco has left in the tank. Because there's definite like leadership there.
Sure.
And there's a veteran presence of a 40-year-old man there, for crying out loud, a former Super Bowl MVP and all that. Was he the Super Bowl MVP?
I believe he was. It wasn't Ray Lewis.
Either way, a Super Bowl champion.
It was the lighting guy.
Franchise quarterback. A former franchise quarterback.
It was Flacco, yeah.
Super Bowl MVP, they'd have to be pretty disappointed in what he's able to produce physically for them to go out and just, okay, Kenny's back.
Well, and that's in play at his age. That is in play that he would fall off a cliff at some point.
Certainly is.
Certainly is. Practice-wise, one with Carolina. They've got two with Philly. So the next week, Wednesday, Thursday.
So maybe they would say, all right, Carolina's not the biggest deal. I just think now you're already 3 weeks into camp at that point.
It's funny you guys bring up Flacco and Pickett because we had a quote here yesterday, and I want you guys to see if you can read between the lines on this, because I don't even think David Njoku meant this in his camp press conference, but he was asked something about Pickett, and then he had a response to something about Joe Flacco, and these are the two answers.
He's a great player, a great leader, you know, just like the aura, just like him being in the huddle alone. It means a lot to the team.
David, what has it been like having Joe Flacco back? You guys,
Flacco!
Joe's my guy. I mean, obviously, as you've seen 2 years ago, there's not really much to say. You know, just I think the film speaks more.
David Njoku is a big fan of Joe Flacco.
Well, obviously, they had some pretty signature connections, right, at the end of that season.
Yes.
So, I mean, it makes sense that, you know, I do wonder, like, guys like Jerry Jeudy especially, who do you think Jeudy wants throwing him the football week one? Because you saw how ugly. Do you guys remember how ugly it was the last few weeks of last year with Jeudy? Like, he got a bunch of targets, and he looked like he wanted to be anywhere else but with the Browns at the end of that dying season. Part of it was they couldn't get him the ball. And then all of a sudden, he started lining up offsides. I brought up the bad body language and everything.
Was it DTR who was the quarterback?
He wants a guy that can put it on him.
They went ahead and they said, let's see what the kid can do.
I've put that out of my memory. One of the best
with
takes,
the Eagles right now.
That's still one of the best takes you ever had, which you immediately, like when you say that, well, we got to see what we have. And I go, well, you're the same guy who goes, do we need to see what we have with Dorian Thompson-Robinson? I'm like, well, if you say that about him, then you got to be able to say that about all.
This last year was such a
non-first-round rookies.
Last year, that was such a going-nowhere situation. Like, I could understand, well, who else do we got? Might as well throw him out there.
Another Browns fifth-round pick. Speaking of which, Deion Sanders yesterday on Michael Irvin's YouTube channel being interviewed and kind of disclosed something about Shador and his handling of Browns camp.
Shador told me not to come. Yeah, let's get that out. He's like, Dad, I may get 3-4 reps in practice. I don't want you seeing that. I'm like, come on. No, I'm not where I need to be. Let me get where I need to be. And it's so funny because this is his first time, man. And he's dealing with it like a pro. He ain't mad. He ain't bitter. He's like, I got work to do, but I'm going to put in this work. One thing, they're going to have to let me play. Preseason going to come. And when preseason come, watch me work. I'm like, I already know what you're going to do. I ain't worried about that. I know. But he didn't want me to come.
Two things. One, I don't know if you're going to get to this with Deion Sanders. God is great with the bladder cancer being gone after the surgery. My God. Because there was a lot of speculation about his health over the summer. And I remember he did that one interview. He's like, we're not talking about my I think it was Big 12 Media Days, actually, where he's like, we're not going to talk about my health right now.
Yeah,
people were starting to speculate yesterday.
I wondered if he was ever going to coach again.
Yeah. And we found that out. And I'm like, good God almighty. The other part of it is, that's probably the smart thing to do. I mean, Deion is a Hall of Famer. He's arguably the best to ever play his position. He's a very, very high-profile guy. If he shows up at training camp, a lot of people are going to be wanting to talk to him. A lot of people are going to ask him a lot of things. And I just don't think he wants – I think he knows he wants to be careful about any commentary he might have. He knows what it takes to put together a locker room to win something. He knows what it takes as a player and trying to do it as a coach. I don't think he wants to step in there, and I'm happy about that.
I was going to say real quick, we have that clip if you want to hear him, the God is good thing.
It has been a tremendous journey. I'm truly thankful that God is so good. You have no idea for me to be here.
I texted my buddy over in Boulder about that. I go, do you think it's like a year-to-year situation? And at first he's like, what do you mean? I'm like, well, not about like going to Florida State or anything. I think that things change now where it's like he could be at the end of the year where he's like, you know what? I found Colorado in a bad spot. They're better than how I found it. Maybe I go back to the desk. Because he can pick up a TV job. I mean, did he still have the show on Tubi or whatever it was when he was?
Him with a TV job. And if his son, can you imagine, was starting quarterback in the league? I mean, you'd want to hear from that guy.
Yes, you would. So, I mean, he could fall, bass backwards into just about anything he wanted to, and he'd certainly be fine. So, coaching... especially having to do what he's had to do, which is retool rosters here 3 years in a row, that can take its toll on a guy.
That's it for Bell Last Night.